This meeting is called to order. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America and to the republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Who's here?
Here.
Everybody but Colleen.
Here. Metro's in the house.
Yeah.
All right. So first is public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board or council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period, which is listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step to the speaker's podium, if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board or council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board council majority vote. If you've just come in, please don't forget to sign in on the sign-in sheet on the table. Thank you. First off, we'll approve the minutes for our last meeting, April 24th. Motion to approve.
Second.
And approval of the agenda for today, June 26, where we can hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. Motion to approve.
Second.
Informational items are: receive a report from Metro regarding any activity and statistics during the past month, or 2 months, shall we say, and any other crime area concerns. This is for discussion only, Metro.
All right.
Thanks for being here tonight.
You're welcome. I'm on the street with Metro. Nothing's unusual, nothing. We don't have any spikes of anything going on right now. I have been out here a little bit more this last month, trying to on the ATVs late at night through the town. I haven't noticed anything. I don't know if it slowed down for you folks. I'm not finding very much of it out here at night.
It's slowed down.
After 10 o'clock per se, I've been trying to come through here. So I don't know. Is there any concerns with that still going on?
Still does happen on Friday night, Saturday night, anyway, but not as much. And Jim, Jim on the corner there. Mm-hmm. I talked to him earlier about it, and he said, "Yeah, it has been better, but unfortunately, all gone," which we understand.
We can't sit there 24/7, so that comes to that. But we have been putting a little bit extra effort into it. Other than that, we've put a lot of effort into the shooting in Sloan area. We've kind of spent some time there, got that cleaned up a little bit. Other than that, no crime spikes, nothing to speak of. Any questions?
May I ask, I don't know if it's proper to ask, and this gentleman about 3 houses down, did he pass away a couple nights ago?
I'm not supposed to say that, but you guys got it figured
okay.
out. Yeah.
You guys saw the coroner's truck out here. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm not at liberty to say that, but the math makes it. Any other questions?
I see you guys drive through all the time. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I certainly notice more of a presence
okay.
when you guys here. So.
We've been trying. We get spread out.
We appreciate
and,
it.
And
you know
there's NHP as well. So
yeah,
we've
seen
great.
Them too.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
The next report is from Clark County Administrative Services regarding progress on Terrible's Travel Center in Jean, updates on the Yellow Pine Mine Trail project, and status of the Seven Magic Mountains And any other updates from Clark County? Megan?
So, do I need to stand up? I guess I should.
You don't. We all know who you are.
Go to the podium. I'll go to the podium. I said we should follow the rules.
Think so heavy.
And spell your last name, please.
Your name and your address. H-O-L-Z-E-R as in zebra. So, I got to tour the Travel Center today. And
oh,
it
yay!
Is fantastic. It is going to be so cool. There are 3 full-size planes mounted inside, which just is amazing, and they seem this little inside. It's amazing.
Planes? Airplanes?
Yeah. I mean, they're small planes, but they're still full-size planes. And the propellers move and everything. It's going to have a grocery section. When you come in to the right, groceries, eggs, milk, things like that. And they weren't thinking about that at first. They were thinking just as travelers on the 15. And I told them, hey, we don't have a grocery store here. So they have upped that. And they did say if they see that the groceries are going well, they'll add more and more. So I'm not trying to drum up business for them. But if you like having more options, maybe, you know, think about getting things there. It's going to be fantastic. It's got a whole candy section. It's going to have the White Castle hamburgers with a drive-thru, which I did not know that it had a drive-thru.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it has a drive-thru. It has racing trucks in there. There's Jack Links. I guess it's beef jerky.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a
I know. It's super famous, though.
Oh. Okay. Jack Links, I guess, is a big deal. They have a 13-foot Sasquatch in there that you can go, like, take pictures with and stuff. And it's going to be one of only like 2 places in the country where you can buy Jack Link's merchandise. And then there's a Red Bull display, and it's the only place in the country you'll be able to buy Red Bull merchandise. So it's really cool. I guess it's a big deal like nationwide. And one of the guys told me he was at a convention last week in Florida, and they were asking about it. So apparently it's a very big deal. It's going to be really cool. And I did talk to them about the gas prices, because I know none of us will stop there. I know I won't.
Yeah.
You know. And I said, could we have... And they want to make money. So their primary customers are the people on the 15. So I suggested maybe having like a locals card and something along those lines. So they're going to look at that. So,
yay.
Nice. So it'd be nice to be able to get gas right there, yay, instead of having to go in town and... I won't let go on that. I will push on that, because I would like to be able to buy gas there too. So I'm going to keep pushing on that to see if we can get them to go on that. So, and they have hired 20 people from the local area to work there. So, and I think they're still looking to hire. So if you're interested.
So when are they open?
I do have a question.
They are trying to open. They would like to be open by the 4th. I don't know if they're going to make it. They're trying really hard, but they're kind of in a catch-22 right now. It's going to take them days and days to load in, because there's nothing in there now except for displays. It's going to take days and days to load in, but they can't load in until they get the sign-off from the fire department and health district. So all of that is like a moving target right now. So I am going to be talking to both of those entities tomorrow to see if we can maybe let them start loading in as they're waiting on those approvals. So
I have a question about the hiring, because that's what I do for a living, but I noticed on their website that they had lots of jobs available, but they were only paying $8 an hour, and then night shift is paying $8.50. Yeah. How do they get to do that, since you're going to be talking with them? Just a casual question, mm-hmm. Say, hey, isn't minimum wage $8.25?
I'll ask. I don't know.
Did somebody not do some homework there? You know?
And maybe they just haven't updated their website. I don't know.
Maybe. But that it was just one of the things, so I'm glad you're talking to them. That'd be great.
But yeah, they had a job fair in Jean, and then a job fair in Sandy Valley, and I think it's probably more than 20, but they said they were saying 20 today. So, okay. So any more questions about Terrible? Okay. The Yellow Pine Mine Trail, we met here last week, was last Monday. With Real Property Management and the people who are thinking about bidding on the project. So we are that close. We are, the bids are going out, and there were 4 or 5 contractors here wanting to bid on the project. So it's a 100-day length of project. So once they get going, it's only 100 days. So early fall, we should be having grand opening for the trail. So
wow.
It's very exciting. As far as Seven Magic Mountains, I've gotten bad information when I told you before that it expired at the end of last year. It expires at the end of this year, so December 2018. And they are asking for a 3-year extension through BLM. So I don't know where that is in the process, but that's what BLM told me, that they're in that process. And that's all I have, unless there's questions for me.
And where does that approval go through?
BLM.
Will it also go through us or no?
Probably not. I would have to look at their use permit.
Just out of curiosity.
I'll have to look at that. But I know it's with BLM approval right now. Because it'd be silly for us to approve it and BLM to not approve
right.
it. So it may not be.
So
it's
probably
not
just
bypassing. It's not in our system yet.
Yeah.
So I'll have to find out how that works.
Okay. Cool.
And our power's back on, just in case anybody wants.
Yeah.
We haven't had an outage since last Friday.
Good.
Something like that. I can't remember.
So have you been part of that?
Yes, I was one of the
people.
Okay.
Did they tell you what it was?
It was the insulators.
Yeah.
It was, they had a picture. If you look on the NV Energy Facebook page, it's an insulator that's like a ceramic, which I always saw the glass ones. But it's ceramic. It looks like a piece of pottery. And to me, it looked like a piece of pottery you buy at like a farmer's market or, you know, an artisan, because it looks all decorative. Well, apparently the decorative part is not supposed to be there. So that's from, there's a crack in the top, a very small crack, and luckily one of my Valley Electric guys stopped and talked to me about it, but apparently that's where the electricity flashes over. So if you look at the picture on their website, there's slashes that go that look like an artisan would have put them on there for decoration. They're not supposed to be there. That's the electricity that's gone across there and flashed over multiple times. So,
that's why I bring it up, because it's very hard to find and very, very out of minor problem, but a huge problem for.
Yeah, it's just a little crack. It's probably 3/4 inch long in the picture. But they replaced every insulator from quartz to POTC. And I think there's 4 per pole. So they did it pretty quick, and we're off the generator now, back on regular power. So let's hope that's the end of it.
Yeah. Our next item in planning and zoning, well, our only item in planning and zoning, is the Ram Corporation use permits first application for review for the following. A proposed recreational facility outdoor shooting range, a proposed minor training facility. Why is it repeating it like that?
Because those are separate use permits in the code.
And waiving applicable design standards for proposed accessory structures, storage and containers and trailers. And waiver of development standards for the following: landscaping adjacent to less intensive use, parking lot landscaping, required trash enclosure, required paving and striping, and design reviews, proposed recreational facility, a proposed minor training facility, ancestry structures, and trailers, a grading plan in conjunction with hillside development on 100.2 acres in rural open land zone, generally located 2.2 miles west of Kingston Road, 1.3 miles north of Sandy Valley Road within Good Springs, for proposed action.
My name is Eric Brashear, Brashear. I wanted to come here, as we talked about, for the 1-year review, essentially, and also address an incident that we had and any other concerns that you guys may have. A few weeks ago, we had a fire out at the range, a brush fire, and we were able to contain most of it, but then we had a flare-up, and it got away from us. And we have 3 lines of defense in place for a fire, for a situation like this. The first line of defense is we have our own fire truck. Unfortunately, at that particular time, the fire truck was not operating properly. Our second line of defense is a 500-gallon water trailer with a fire hose on it. And that was, in fact, working properly, but the mistake that we had made, that we had learned from this mistake, is that we didn't have a truck hooked up to that trailer, and we lost valuable time. once the fire ignited, and for us to be able to put that out. So now it's our standard operating procedure to every morning hook that truck up prior to the commencement of business to make sure that that's ready to go. And of course, our third line of defense is to call in the professionals, which is what we ended up having to do on the fire a few weeks ago. And the BLM came in and put the fire out fairly quickly. It got about, I would estimate, about 100 yards outside of our property line before it was contained. So it was a fairly slow moving, in my opinion. Tom can speak to it as well, because he came out and saw it. Some of the other steps that we want to take is we're talking to BLM right now about coming out and doing a controlled burn. We're looking at some wildfire brush fire training for our staff as well, so we're a little bit better prepared and a little bit better equipped if that happens again. Doing a controlled burn with the BLM would, you know, take care of the rest of the vegetation that's in that area, and since it's already burned, you know, since a fair portion of it's already burned there, this would take care of the rest of that and prevent a future fire from happening until the next season, in which case we do the same thing.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. The brush that's up there, I mean, it's not going to go too far. There's not much to burn. And after this burn, I can tell you that there's not much there already. But a controlled burn would be fantastic for next year.
Yeah. Yes. What was the cause?
You know, the fire investigator for the BLM is still making an official determination, but I think that the assumption is that it was a ricochet off of a particular type of rock. So kind of a freak thing, given the fact that we've been operating there for a year with no other issues, really.
Was anyone hurt?
No.
Thank you. Good to know.
Nothing hurt, no structures damaged or anything like that.
You're talking about a controlled burn. How far have you gotten into that? Because I think that's a fantastic idea.
Well, I spoke with the investigator, and because that's the only contact information I really had at the land, and he forwarded me the other day phone number for the gentleman to talk to about that. So I'm going to be reaching out to him the first part of next week.
And as far as your staff, you said you've got a trained staff to be looking over your shooters. How about a trained staff looking for hot spots?
Well, and that's what we're going to do. In fact, I inquired with Tom if he knew somebody, and he had suggested that I reach out to the BLM as well and see if we can get our staff, because there's just, you know, I was actually one of the people there that was fighting the fire as well, and it's interesting. It's very slow moving. It kind of reminds me of like The Blob or something in a classic movie, because it's slow moving, but it's wide. And if you don't know what you're doing, when the crew showed up, they put it out like that. I mean, when you don't know what you're doing, which we don't, I think that really put us at a handicap. So that's why we're looking into some type of instructions, you know, similar to, probably not as extensive as what Tom received when he fireman. So
I would like to know why you guys didn't call 911 prior to Tom getting there, because,
well,
Tom saw it here in town, and
I had called down to, we thought we had it contained, and then I had called down, I was up on the mountain, and I had called down to the mountain to one of my employees to call 911, because I didn't have my phone with me, and there was a miscommunication. They didn't hear me, they didn't hear what I said. So, and we've also brought two-way radios up there now, up on the property, so that if this happens again, we'll be in two-way radio communication, which is something we didn't have.
And how about your water situation? I know a year ago when you came before the town council, you talked about having a water truck on site.
We do.
I've not noticed a water truck, but I've noticed a water trailer.
Yeah. That's the water trailer that has 500 gallons in it. Our fire trucks hold 1,500 gallons. The water trailer that you see has a 200 gallon a minute water pump on it with a fire hose. So that's what we use to.
And are you taking steps to prepare your staff to take care of a burn like we had before?
Yes, yes.
Luckily, that was not a windy day, the day prior and the day after work.
Yeah, well, yeah, not wildly windy. Yeah, we did have some breeze in the canyon.
How many staff members are up there routinely?
Routinely, probably 4 to 5.
So this day, there were like how many up there that day then?
Six.
Six.
Yeah, including myself.
What was wrong with the fire truck? But it, you said it wasn't operating.
It's the water pump has an issue, and so we're Fire Trucks Unlimited is who's working on it, and they had to order seals for it. And I think they have the seals in now, so we're going to get them installed.
And it might feel like we're giving you the fifth degree, but...
No, it's fine. Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
That's why I'm here, too. I'll let you guys know. Absolutely. And I absolutely respect that, and that's why I'm here to... To answer your questions.
I mean, there's a lot of us that, just like that, you know.
No, I understand, and it's, you know, and it's important to me as well. I mean, I'm not, you know, I love the place, I love the town, I love the fact that, you know, that we get to operate, you know, near here, and we want to continue to do that, so that's why we try to take these proactive steps as well.
So how much burn? I mean, you were up there too, and did it all burn on your property,
or
the property that you're
property.
Leasing? You're leasing that property, right?
Correct, yeah. 11 years.
And then how much of it burned on BLM property?
I would say BLM mapped the entire fire to 33 acres, but the majority of that was up the slopes. I would say that a quarter of that, you saw it. What would you say?
When it came over, that it was 33 acres. I think it had to do with the topography on it.
Yeah.
But they were very
steep.
That would be a deceptive number. I mean, it was basically contained in the canyon.
Yeah.
And then when it started to try to go over the top, that's when Night 10 was coming and basically dropped it down completely. And as it moved very slowly. So
yeah.
It was easy.
I mean, I defer to Tom. He's our expert here. We just all kind of have questions, because all of a sudden the flag goes up like
it would take a significant amount for, I mean, what we have to burn out there in that area specifically. If you haven't been up in that area, I would definitely go look at it.
Yeah, and you're all welcome to come up. I'm happy to give you a tour and show you what we have going on up there, as well as, you know, the steps that we take to prevent situations like that.
I can't believe it's been a year already.
Yeah.
I mean, I
have a few more questions.
Sure.
You're talking about waiving development standards for a parking lot. Why would you need a parking lot if a year ago you said that you were not going to have people coming out driving themselves? You were going to drive them out here yourself.
That's exactly right. That's just a statement. Maybe you could probably speak to that more.
All businesses are required to have a parking lot, but they obviously don't need a parking lot, so that's why the standard. That's why they're waiving the standards. And these are all the things that have already been approved. That we're just seeing if they want to extend it.
I see a lot of traffic on Kingston Road, and I'm not saying that they're going to your establishment, but and I'm not sitting out there 24/7 with binoculars, but I see a lot more traffic than we have before, and that was one of our concerns as a council, is that we would not have the renegade shooters come out here.
We have very few drive up. We may have 6 people drive up in a month to our range because of the dirt road. So what we typically do is we typically, and people don't want to drive on their vehicles on a dirt road. So typically what we do is we have them meet at Pioneer Saloon, and on the scheduled trip that the one of the limos comes through, then it stops at Pioneer and they get in there, and then the limo continues on its trip, and then they get out there. So, but I can tell you that very few people, and we don't encourage people to drive out there anyway. You know, because the road's rough and they could take a wrong turn, and you know, so it's if that 6 people a month is what you're
okay.
So.
Super. Thank you.
Sure.
So this is actually just the required 1-year review. Is that essentially? So it's not you're not
correct.
Adding to it or
no,
changing
we're not
anything.
Changing anything.
Essentially,
no.
It's the same as proposed initially.
That's
and with a maximum 50 caliber would be the biggest.
Sure.
Weapon.
We're not looking to make any changes and anything like that. I will tell you that, you know, as a businessman, it's difficult to invest too much when we knew we were coming up for review, and there's obviously an uncertainty there. So one of the things that I want to do, I'll share with you, is we want to put a larger water tank out there. We want to put a 4,000 gallon water tank out there in addition to the water we already have. For situations like this, there's additional investment we want to make in making the facility better, and making it, I don't want to say safer because it's not really accurate, but just enhancing what we have going on. It's just difficult to just, you know, to you know, invest like we have our, you know, 10 years on our lease, you know, with knowing that there was this uncertainty looming. So
will this still be required on an annual basis, the review?
I hope not.
It seems like it should be, just well, from the standpoint of input from community if things do change.
Well, and the other thing is you have to understand from my standpoint, it creates this uncertainty for me. And I think if we were wildly negligent, then certainly we would lose our permit to operate. But I will tell you that this, one, it cost $1,000 for me to make the application for this review, which is, you know, a thing, you know, and I had to pay somebody to create that application as well. And again, it keeps us, and just knowing that there's this uncertainty that if, you know, people just, you know, for some reason just decided they just didn't want this here, then I can't invest in the business the way that we'd like to. So I don't think that typically, and again, Megan can maybe speak to this as well, I don't think that the majority of the businesses that exist in this county have that requirement for a one-year requirement. I know that when you asked for it a year ago, that, you know, they were willing to give it because it was sort of an unusual situation. But
because I know that, you know, she tested the hearing and the sounds,
yep,
and everything, and yet I do hear them sometimes.
You don't hear ours. I promise you, you don't hear ours.
You do not
hear ours. You do. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. And I don't mean to be sound too aggressive about this. I'm certain you hear somebody shooting. You do not hear ours. I promise you, you don't hear us. If you've ever driven out to where we are, I mean, we're behind a 330
Canyon
Wall.
Exactly.
But there's absolutely no way. I promise you, there's no way that you can hear it. Megan didn't hear it. I mean, when we fired the 50 cal and everything, you hear somebody's gunfire. You do not hear our gunfire. I guarantee.
I get people coming through
certain
all the time, like going to go out and shoot by themselves.
And that may be.
Oh, and I try to push. I try to push them out as far as possible.
And that may be some of the traffic. You see.
Yeah, and they go just right past the fire station. I'm like, no, you got to be miles out of town, guys. You can't be close to town. But some of those renegades are. Yeah. And I know for a fact that they're not going the distance they need to go out.
But I would welcome you. In fact, if you weren't here tonight, I was going to call you and invite you.
Yes.
Because you weren't present. I would welcome you or anybody to come out. And, you know, and I would be happy to do sound tests for you. And we could start at the range and work our way out. And you'd hear it faint, and then we could go another couple hundred yards,
right,
and you'd hear it faint, and then you wouldn't hear it at all. And I would highly encourage you, and I'd be happy to organize that with you, for you guys, for anybody who wants to do that, to come out and see that. Because I absolutely promise you, I've been doing this business for 7 years. I guarantee you, those are not our gunshots this year.
Because that was one of the main reasons that in the planning commission that I asked for at least one year review.
Yep.
Because, you know, and I understand. I know those guys are out there all over the place and probably isn't yours. But what if you did start hearing that, then we would have a little bit better chance of being able to say, wait a minute, maybe we've got to do some other
stuff. Well, let me give you a little input. So staff has recommended, they've asked for 10 years. Staff has recommended 10 years for review. The assistant director of planning called me the other day and said, hey, what would you think about having no time limit? Because 10 years is a very long time, and a lot of times those get forgotten anyway. And part of the reason we talked about that was because there are other mechanisms. If he were to suddenly become completely negligent and lose his mind and start doing terrible stuff, we can revoke use permits.
Right.
There's a process for that. So the 10-year review is almost a moot point when we would have time and be able to do that much sooner if there were a problem.
That's also
we wouldn't
want to
wait
reasons,
10 years
so.
If there were a problem.
Also, I want to encourage you to reach out. I mean, any concerns that I've ever had, I call them, I talk to them, and those get addressed. And that's what I want to see from people, is like you're able to have a conversation and you can communicate, and in that way he can address what needs to be addressed. Yeah.
Okay. Got one more thing. Obviously, the Rails to Trails project runs parallel to the road that is traveled on by the limousine several times a day. And there's considerable dust, and depending on which way the wind is blown, that trail is going to be inundated with dust at certain times. I mean, I know it because I look at that, and I've been waiting for the trail for 15 years now. So basically, is there any way that you could address that dust? You know, there are some dust mitigation things. Did the BLM require anything out where, I mean, obviously, where you guys are.
They didn't, especially because we travel that road, especially, frankly, because they're limousines. We travel that road pretty conservatively at a pretty reasonable speed. And there certainly is dust. Don't get me wrong. And I noticed that, you know, I hate to say it flows your direction most of the time.
Yeah.
But occasionally it does blow in the other direction. And which is where I think the trail is going
to
be.
The trail is right adjacent to that one.
Yeah, it's on our side of Kingston, is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, so occasionally, I would say literally maybe 20% of the time I see the wind blow that way, but the bulk of it blows your way. But that, be that as it may, when we thought about and talked about dust mitigation on that road in the beginning, the problem is any dust mitigation you do is going to get torn up by the ATVs. And essentially would probably be rendered moot within a week or so because the ATVs running up and down there, tearing it up, and they're, you know, we see it as we drive down that road 25, maybe 30 miles an hour if we're lucky, depending on the condition of the road. You know, we see the, you know, the little,
oh, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I mean, you know, it's the bulk of the dust that's being kicked up at all certainly isn't from the limousines going at a fairly controlled. It's the, you know, ATVs going, you know, 45, 50 miles an hour.
It is just something that I'd like to have in that, kind of in the conversation, too, because of the fact that, you know, there's going to be fairly good investment in the trail.
Sure.
And not only in time and commitment for the 10 years, but, you know,
yeah, and it's absolutely
dollars.
Something if we
so.
Create, yeah, it's something, if it's an issue that we create, we'd be happy to work with you. And, you know, we don't have to be forced by a government ordinance to be able to work with you guys. I mean, we're as far as we're concerned, we're neighbors too, you know, and, you know, we want to play nice. I mean, we want this all to work for everybody, you know. And I drive through this town at 15 miles an hour because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding that we're speeding or anything like that. Unless there's somebody behind me, and then I don't want to annoy you, so then I drive 25. But it's true. I mean, the truth is that, you know, as I said when we were in the meeting a year ago, I completely agree with your position. I wouldn't want to, the way you portrayed it, I wouldn't want to experience what you portrayed as well. But that's why we selected such a remote location behind 330-foot canyon walls, because you absolutely cannot hear the gunshots, because you know, it's not a very intrusive business as far as businesses go. I think the ATV business is, and I'm not trying to single somebody out, but I think the ATV business is, whether it's, you know, the local one or some of the other ones that come up, or the those are the ones that
need to be addressed
significantly
for sure.
More dust than we do.
How many trips do you do on the busiest day?
On the busiest day, probably 6 round trips.
So you have 3 groups a day?
We have 3 shoot times a day. We do an 11, 1, and 3 o'clock shoot time. And typically on a busy day, we would have 2 cars signed, you know, running those, you know, bringing those guests up at that time. Yeah.
And I know that you've answered a lot of these questions a year ago. If I may, I believe I recall that you said something about a fire hydrant for the town.
No, I don't.
No, that was
not Noel. A hydrant. No,
that was Noel. He talked about having a fire truck or a water truck.
I knew somebody. Sorry, guys, I'm getting old. But I knew somebody talked about extra water for fire out here for the springs. I'll follow up with Noel. Any other questions?
You know, you're
any other questions?
I didn't even know you were going to be here tonight. I didn't come here specifically.
Well, I was hoping
you
were going to be here, because if you weren't, I was going to call you.
Because you knew I would be at the next
one. I know you'd be at the next one.
I'm glad you're here. That was good.
If there's no other questions,
I'd like to motion to approve.
Second?
What time frame? You want 10 years? You could do any number.
What does staff recommend?
Staff is recommending 10 years, but there's also been discussion about removing the time limit altogether.
It wouldn't. 10 years just...
It could.
I mean, that's the end of your lease.
That's the end of my lease.
So what's the point?
Sure.
I have no problem granting you the permits as long as we have a time frame of when you're going to do the controlled burn. For some reason, that just sticks out in my head as the protect all of our little town.
Sure.
Because we were out there and we saw those hot spots, and that's scary. We live here.
I know.
This is our home.
I know. I absolutely 100%.
And the majority of us don't live in stick-built homes. We're in manufactured homes, and those will go up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. No, I trust me. I don't want to do any. Carl is my general manager. You would be blown away to know the amount of physical exertion that we put to fighting this fire. We did have the water trailer keeping it, you know, because that's as far as the hose would reach.
What about inspections on the tank and the water truck and the water tank that's on the trailer? Aren't those supposed to be inspected periodically, or is that just something that?
Not to my knowledge. No.
They're their own private thing. It's not a public fire truck like the VFD.
I mean, that's why I'm asking, because I know that yours are. That's just this. I think overall, I don't know if everybody agrees, but that's just kind of the scariest thing probably for us.
Well, and I understand, but instead of it being a question. Instead of it being a question, we actually have an example now. We have an occurrence, and it didn't come anywhere near the town. It remained 3.5 miles away from the town.
Well, we're not just concerned about us. We don't want you guys to get hurt.
Well,
or your
that.
Guests.
And I appreciate it. And we
didn't.
Know,
but not
again,
just
we actually have this now as an example, and we've learned from this, and we're taking steps to be better prepared for this, because you just don't know until it actually happens.
Right. If you fall off the bicycle, you have to learn how to ride.
That's
better.
Exactly right.
So,
and so I've learned a lot from that, and so I'm taking steps for that as well, so that we're better prepared. But we actually have this as an example now. We had the three, levels of. Defense essentially.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have get our primary back in place as soon as we can get the fire truck going again. But I will absolutely, I'm happy to say we can do a controlled burn. I need to get with the BLM, so I can't really make a time commitment on that. But I mean, you could either trust that I'm just working on it aggressively to get it done.
It's in his interest too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing
I know
he,
that.
Yeah.
I know. Tom
yeah.
and I
yeah.
talked
yeah.
about
yeah.
it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it a condition because.
No, I don't want to make it
okay.
a condition. I just want. I mean,
but you're always
live
welcome
here,
right? You're absolutely right, and I do too. Have a fair portion of the time, but you're also welcome to reach out to me anytime, and I'll make sure you have my phone number. And the same thing, if anybody wants my phone number, my cell phone, I'm happy to give it to you. You're absolutely willing to reach out to me, welcome to reach out to me anytime and ask me, have you gotten a controlled burn? You don't have to be in this forum. You don't have to be in a county forum. I'm happy to answer those questions.
Just like a neighbor, we're going to.
That's exactly
or
right.
Or I can check in with Eric before each meeting and see where
I'd
we
love
are.
It. You guys are all welcome to come out and shoot. Complimentary as neighbors. I'm happy to let you experience what we do out there, so you can see it, so you can have an understanding of what we do, how safe we are, and the steps that we take to minimize our footprint, so to speak.
And I'm not advocating for his project, but I would encourage you to take him up on that to go see what
I
the operation
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
I will.
It is
more remote than you expect it to be.
It's quite far.
Especially when you look at the walls.
Yeah.
I know there was a concern when we met a year ago. We were like, well, what about ATVs or hikers? When you look at the walls around our canyon, the outside walls around our canyon, which we've done, and we have a drone as well that we fly over. We bought to fly over to look at those things. You'd have to be a mountain climber actually to get into that canyon, except from the only entrance that we have to get into it. But I encourage anybody and everybody to come out and check it out.
Yeah, I really appreciate the safety
sure.
aspect of what you're
yeah.
looking out for. But.
So we have a motion. I just want to know we can just leave it at approval, but if you want to put a time limit or if you want to say.
I want to leave the time limit off.
Okay. Removing the time limit.
Yeah, because I don't think the 10 years is, it's the end of his lease, so
right.
what's the difference?
Okay.
We just all have an open invitation
it's
to call him.
It's going to be a different panel
yeah.
in 10 years, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pause it.
I'll be here.
I'll be a year from retirement, so maybe I won't care. So we have a motion.
I second it.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye, aye, aye.
And if I may, I know you have a meeting to continue with. Tom has my cell phone number. Please feel free, if you'd like to have my cell phone number, you can get it from Tom. And feel free to reach out to me anytime with any questions you might have.
I'm glad no one was hurt.
Yeah.
Thank you for being so good.
Well, thanks.
Our drilling.
My pleasure. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And thank you for the approval. Take care.
So now we go to general business in our agenda, which there is nothing. So let's go to our comments by the general public. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's and council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed or posted on this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name, address, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board or council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, it will be done by myself or the board or council. Anybody?
I'll go.
Okay. And I'm sorry, who are you?
Oh, who am I? Katie Heinzer, 715 West Exchange. I just want to bring it to the town's attention, and hopefully we will get it on the agenda and make something happen with the county. My husband and I have responded to 2 major accidents on Highway 161. There are not normal sized mile markers on Highway 161. They're on the white things, and if you're driving and you're looking at the mile markers, you're gonna run off the road. And they're mile markers going towards Sandy Valley. They're on the biggest boulevard. I don't see why we can't get, let's see, well, it's 7 miles. Let's just call it 8 for 0. 16 of them from here.
Tom, do you know, are they the new ones or the old ones? Do you know?
They're very old.
I think they're
white.
The old ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's NDOT. It's not county. If it were county, I'd be able to get them very quickly. It is NDOT. I will put a request in. It will probably be a couple months because their sign shop is up north, and they bring them down like
this
once a month.
This very last accident that my husband and I responded to, we were the second person on the scene, and the gal that responded, she was white as a ghost because she was afraid of what she had just witnessed. And the 911 was asking her what mile marker, and she's like, I have no idea. We've lived here 6.5 years, and I'm like, I have no idea what mile marker we're at yet either. So I think that's important.
Yep.
If they're going towards Sandy Valley and they're on every other highway, why are they not on our highway?
And I don't know that. I don't know why they're not there. So we'll get a tanker.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie. Anybody else? Ted.
Theodore Compton, West San Pedro, C-O-M-P-T-O-N. I went down to DOT last month, and I went down a couple times down to the Washington location. It's like 123 Washington Avenue. And I spoke to the managing engineer. Her name is Michelle Castro, and she's the professional engineer. And I spoke to one of the assistant engineers, and his name is Mark Cutler. And I talked to him. They were quite receptive about ideas to improve the 161, better shoulders, wider shoulders. They talked about guardrails. I talked about the holes for drainage that pass underneath the highway and how extremely dangerous they are for vehicles that are forced to leave the highway. And we have a mix of traffic out here. We have mining interests that are passing through, bicyclists, mini cars. And I was wondering if the board would, if I approach them as myself, the Department of Transportation, I don't have much power, so the board would have to make an email request, either to maybe speak to one of the assistant engineers, you can even come to a meeting, or we could talk about some of these horrific accidents that have happened. And the reason they became horrific is when the car leaves the road, they're hitting these berms, and it's causing them to flip and violently crash. The last one I saw was Sunday. It was prior to Memorial Day, and it totally
totaled his car. Nobody, they said, HP said that they did walk away, but and I did photograph it, and it was become, because it left the road, it hit one of these drainage channels, caused it to flip violently and break all its windows and dismantle the front end of this vehicle. It was a very luxurious vehicle. It was big enough so it could take that impact. But this type of impact has happened many times before. I've been out here for years, and I've seen many of the off-road catastrophes. And if we could, they will talk to us, and I'm sure we can get them to come out here and speak to us. But I think the board is going to have to initiate some communicate with them. So that's my request. I mean, I'll go down and speak to them, but could we email something? It could take years. It could take 10 years.
Do you have a good contact down there?
I do. I'll see if I can get someone.
Okay.
And okay. Can we get some of our fellow officers that patrol our highway to speak on behalf of the accidents that do happen because of the berms?
Well, guys, you travel all over, and I would like to get their perspective on. Actually, we can't. We're not supposed to discuss during public comment.
Yeah,
but
this is
you
public comment.
Minutes as your public comment, and share your experience if this highway is different, or your impression of this highway versus other parts of the county.
It's not, unfortunately. It's what it is, and it's a catch 22 with what we're talking about, because a vehicle that left the roadway and violently flipped, there's probably a reason why the driver had something to do with that. Speed is 99% of the reason why. We all go up and down with speed limits. The reason why 55, the cars they build now are different than they were in the 70s. But at 50 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour, if you leave that roadway, chances are you're recovering are a lot greater than at 65. And at some point, that's a state road. Metro Clark County doesn't have anything to do with that. So that would be an NDOT thing besides. But it's the safety thing. I don't know what
we
to say. It's always about
I was
speed.
Passed with three 30,000 pound vehicles. Mm-hmm. They're all coming out of the mine, or they're making deliveries. And it's a small road. It's not very wide.
Right.
And our shoulders are so steep. Your chances of making a proper correction are limited. I mean,
and
you're
that's true.
Off, your
they did make. I know last year they did some shoulder work on that, and they did. They made it quite. How do I say it? They definitely widened them, and they filled them in so that it wasn't so steep off the asphalt.
Okay. So we just need a continuation of that.
Right.
Just,
but now what you're talking about, the only way to fix the issue that we have going on right now
to extend those pipes,
extend those culverts.
And I see that in rural projects in Arizona. Why do we not deserve that?
I know, and that would be a citizen's argument with their, not necessarily, I'm just giving you the idea. As a police officer and policing these roads, we can't compare something to something else. Especially across state lines or even county lines.
Correct.
It's money, and this can be easily repaired if we could. We need to look at the fatalities.
Okay.
We need to look at those records and incapacitative injuries in order to make a case.
And I understand what you're saying, and Megan's going to get someone out. So let's make notes on that, because we're going longer. And
Madam
thank
Chair.
You. I appreciate your concern.
So Megan, does that need to go on the agenda?
Yeah, we'll have follow-up from Megan on that, so keep your notes, Ted.
Tom Shackles, 473 Pacific Avenue in Springs. I would like to introduce Theodore. I've got great internet all of a sudden, satellite. It's like 25 megs to 35 megs, which the guys I was using before was like 0.5 to like maybe 10. And so it's been a great service. I just want to let everybody know about it because it's so good. And there wasn't a setup fee or anything like that. I've been with them for a whole month now. So if you want to have any questions or anything like that, if you want to talk to me about it, go for it.
Yay. Thank you. We don't have many choices out here.
I know. Super happy.
Hello, so my name is Theodore. And Theodore. So we just started offering service here about a month and a half ago. To buy us at. Our company's been around for 30 years. And we're based out of San Diego.
Can you spell that for me?
Yes.
I mean, I can't read your shirt from here.
It's V-I-A-S-A-T.
Awesome. Thank you.
We're out of Carlsbad, Green Bay, San Diego, in California. So we just launched our new Viasat 2 satellite, which in some areas we're getting up to 100 megabits per second. The fastest speed we offer out here is 25 megabits per second download. We are seeing speeds up to 35 megabits per second, which are really well for, you know, people that have big families, multiple streaming devices at the same time. And we do have an entry plan now here. It's at for $79.99. It's 12 megabits per second down. And for the first 3 months, you do get it for $59.99. We do also have another plan. It's for $109.99. It's for 25 megabits per second down. But for the first 3 months, you do get it for $79.99. And I am in the process of working on trying to get a better price here with a better speed point. And it's been in the works. So we've had like a slow launch here in Good Springs for some reason. And we've been trying to get it up and going.
And, do you also have customers in Sandy Valley? Is that part of your territory yet?
The problem with Sandy Valley is that they get internet service from Valley Electric. They do offer a little bit better price than us, but their wait time is extremely long, and they do have loyal customers out there. We do have customers out in Pahrump right now, in Indian Springs, and throughout the valley. So,
okay, groovy.
When did you start serving Indian Springs?
We started serving Indian Springs about 2 months ago.
Don't leave till I talk to you about it.
Okay.
That's
one
of my towns too.
And so yeah. And if you want to know what like that meg is, it's like it's the equivalent of like I've got three TVs streaming at my house and I'm on the laptop. So that's what that looks like.
And your cell phones.
And we're on our cell phones too. It's
there's
crazy.
Only two people in your house. Why do you have three TVs on?
My mom moved in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why the other TV's in the garage.
No.
No, that's just the internet only. But we do offer also house phone service.
Dang, mom.
So you're able to get house phone service. It is $30 a month, but for the first 12 months, you do get an entry price for $20, which is really good, you know, just in case some issue happens where you're unable to you know, get to your phone line, or you know, you're able to use our system, which is satellite, which is really good.
How do you compare yourself to HughesNet or another set system?
HughesNet, our system's a lot better than HughesNet. It's more advanced, so we're able to get better speeds and better quality video through our satellite, which works really well. HughesNet is a little bit slower. They're unable to, you know, provide customers with good service than like we are.
And this doesn't require a contract, right?
It is a 2-year service contract with a 2-year price guarantee after the price does go up after the 3 months. So, yeah.
2-year.
Yeah, 2 years. So if you did want to get out, we don't have a big fee at the time of you wanting to get out of your contract. It is $15 for each month of service. You don't have it, but you're able to take our service throughout the country because we do offer service throughout the whole United States. So no matter where you live, we can provide you internet service.
Instead of buying out your contract, you just
instead of buying out your contract,
mobile.
You do get a free move. We do have an easy care package, which is $5.99 a month. All our customers do get it for free for the first 3 months, which covers any service calls, any you know, if you have a tree grow in front of your satellite, we come out and move it for you for free. Any relocation, if you decide to move your satellite dish because you didn't like where to install and put it, we'll move that for you for free as well. And plus, you do get one free move a year. So if you decide to move anywhere, we move your satellite for you for free.
So. All right. Groovy. Thank you, sir.
Did you get this noise? No. You didn't get
this noise. No, I was going to say.
I was going to say. Yeah, move the tree.
Come on, move my tree.
Any other comments by our general public? Wow.
C-A-R-T-E-R. And I just want to express my gratitude to everyone for coming out and voting
truly, it was amazing to see all of those smiling faces and to see how many of our residents got out and voted. And I just, as one of the candidates, I just want to tell you how much I truly appreciated it. As such, I'm going to be throwing a thank you barbecue, and we'll be having it here at the park, and we're looking at July 28th. We'll have put up some flyers and over at the library just to let you know. Just really, thank you guys so much. I know that it's been a long 6 months, and there's been signs everywhere, and I'm sure you're probably tired of looking at all of that and hearing all of the speeches and everything, but truly thank you for your patience. We are I'm taking some of my signs down so you don't have to look at them for a little bit. But just thank you, and I look forward to seeing you all at the barbecue.
Thank you, Amber.
Oh, one more thing. If anybody wants to contact me, I forgot to give you directly. It's, you want to write down 661 area code 282-6777. We do have some flyers around town. If you guys have some.
Any
other?
Oops.
282-6777. Thank you.
Any other comments by the general public? And I'm sorry, you are?
My name is Larry Shupe, S-H-U-P-E. I live at 605 Trailing Rose in Sandy Valley. I am running for justice and peace, and as you're aware, the primary just occurred, and I just want to congratulate my opponent, Amber Carter. The two of us will be hopefully not battling it out till November. This has been a very unique and maybe odd campaign around here. It's been very upbeat, very above board, and I look forward to a second phase of this campaign. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
We have a new resident in town.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chris Azarin. He's just bought the house next to me. Oh.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. The PBR dude.
Yes.
You look different. You're a different PBR dude.
That's where I recognize you.
You're a different
PBR dude. Oh, my gosh.
PBR
how many years? Now I know. Now I get it. Now I remember why you were after my house. Yeah. Now I recognize him. Mm-hmm. I think I handed you a check once or something.
It's a big one. Now it's Budweiser, but yeah.
Oh, you changed.
Yeah. Okay. So I was there for like 6 years and just recently switched over. So.
Oh, I was thinking pro bull riding.
That's what I thought too.
PBR.
That's why I said PBR. Oh, I need to.
I know.
That's
I said
wrong PBR.
Oh.
Wrong PBR.
Now the difference between Sandy Valley and Vince Free. What about the alcohol? You guys are better than
okay. Excellent. Well, welcome.
Welcome.
If there's nothing else, our next meeting is July 31st. Same bat time, same bat channel. And this meeting is adjourned.
So...